Today, on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.
But whenever we have a trial like this, where we're waiting for overall survival, and, you know, our treatments are palliative, generally not curative, we have to have data on how well is this drug tolerated.
Today, Drs. Yuan and Callahan join the podcast to discuss ASCO 2025, insights into HER2-positive breast cancer, Destiny Breast 06, SHR-A1811, rechallenge with TDXD, post-grade 1, ILD, and more in this PeerDirect Specialist Spotlight. All the opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hello, I am Dr. Yuan Yuan. I'm a breast medical oncologist and the director of breast oncology at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center.
And I'm Dr. Rena Callahan. I'm a hematologist oncologist and associate clinical professor of medicine at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA.
Welcome back to conversation about HER2-positive breast cancer from ASCO 2025. So, Rena, let's continue our discussion of some of the more interesting HER2-positive abstracts from the meeting. Would you start us by reviewing the Destiny Breast 06 presentation in HER2-low and ultra-low?
Yeah, so the presentation at this meeting focused on quality of life and patient-reported outcomes. We've known from previous presentations that Destiny Breast 06 studied patients with metastatic hormone receptor-positive HER2-low metastatic breast cancer in the endocrine-resistant setting, where TDXD was compared with single-agent chemotherapy, and that there was a very impressive improvement in the first line of progression-free survival of 8 months to 13 months. And this was regardless of having HER2-low or ultra-low disease. But whenever we have a trial like this, where we're waiting for overall survival, and, you know, our treatments are palliative, generally not curative, we have to have data on how well is this drug tolerated. And so we got some of that at this meeting. And I, for me, the take home was that there was no deterioration in quality of life for patients who were on TDXD. In fact, a trend towards the opposite. They set a pretty high bar at what was considered, you know, actually an improvement. But I think that it clearly showed that TDXD is well tolerated. And maybe part of this is not just the drug, but if you don't progress, you may feel better. Because depending on the type of progression, if you're progressing, you know, in the liver or the lungs, that has a great impact on your quality of life. So being progression-free can also impact quality of life. What do you think?
I do agree. If the symptom were triggered by disease itself, longer treatment on study is actually attributing to better quality of life. And we all say that when we treat stage four, especially heavily pretreated patients, we're talking about palliative treatment. So I think this data echoes that. This morning, I saw a poster called SHR-A1811 as a neoadjuvant antibody-drug conjugate looking at hormone receptor-positive HER2-low breast cancer. Do you have any comments on this trial?
Yeah, I mean, so it was a neoadjuvant trial in the hormone receptor-positive HER2-low space, so we're not expecting a whole lot in terms of pathologic complete response rate. It was very low in this study, you know, about 3%. But I don't think that that necessarily means that the study didn't tell us that this drug should be developed more in this space. I think that, you know, you need event-free survival to really put it into context. There was another abstract with this same molecule that I thought was more interesting, looking at intracranial efficacy. And so that, you know, there was an intracranial efficacy of over 80%. So the molecule is potent, and it's kind of looking for its space in a crowded space.
Another abstract we have seen is a newer antibody drug conjugate called TQB-2102. This is a bispecific HER2-targeting components was aggregated to a topoisomerase 1 inhibitor. So the research team had looked at HER2-low expressing recurrent and metastatic breast cancer.
All right. So in a study like this, you're just looking for a signal that says that maybe there are some responses and it is overall safe and tolerated by the few patients in that study. And we also get an early look at a new type of a molecule, right? So a lot of our ADCs are looking very similar, but this next generation of ADCs include bispecifics. And so this one targeting two different epitopes on HER2, I think is really interesting. And so just getting an early look at that is interesting, but it cannot be, you know, directly applied to patient care at this phase.
Not yet.
Right.
Let's talk about the interesting Dr. Hope Rugo presentation on TDXD rechallenging. I know you and I probably all seen ILDs in the practice. We know that for a grade 2 ILD, but per current FDA package insert, you have to permanently stop the drug. I know some of the patients do really well on the agent. So for grade 1 ILD, have you tried to rechallenge, and perhaps let's relate to Dr. Rugo's presentation.
Right. I've definitely rechallenged in the grade one setting because, you know, it is arguably our most potent therapy that we use across different breast cancer subtypes. And so I've had patients who've had just beautiful responses in the brain and in the body, and then develop, we do a scan and there's some ground glass and it's, oh no, are we going to have to stop this? And I'll tell you, from the patient perspective, they don't want to stop, especially if they're asymptomatic. So I think having guidance from a study like this, which tells us, okay, we can stop for a period of time. It may take a month for some of those changes on the CT scan to get a little bit better. We can use some steroids. But then when we rechallenge, our patients can be on this therapy for a long period of time. I think it was, you know, over 200 days. So what about you? Have you been rechallenging, or were you waiting for a study like this?
I was waiting for a study like that. I was very impressed. In fact, for patients who had ILD grade 1, about 75% of the patient did get rechallenged in this study. And the recurrence rate of ILD is relatively low. So I was happy to see the results. Only 27% had a recurrence, and there's no grade 4 or 5 ILD. That's very reassuring. I think this is going to be practice changing, in my view. Thank you for the great discussion, Rina. There's a lot of great stuff going on in HER2-positive breast cancer.
I agree. Our patients will absolutely benefit as we learn more. Thank you, Yuan.
And thank you for joining our discussion on the highlights of HER2-positive breast cancer from ASCO 2025.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Pandora, Apple Podcast, or TuneIn. You can also download our Amazon Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, what's my Flash Briefing? Thanks today to our guests, Drs. Yuan and Callahan. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.